Radio Prague News.
The Prime Minister has urged coalition parties not to withdraw their support for the government's key bills over the dismissal of the police president. A top Czech court has ordered a man from Olomouc to serve the rest of his prison sentence for defacing political campaign posters. And Czech hockey player František Kabela, a Stanley Cup winner and a five-time world champion, has ended his career. Prime Minister Petr Nečas on Thursday urged coalition parties not to withdraw their support for the government's key bills over the dismissal of the police president. The warning came after Deputy Prime Minister and head of the Lidem party Karolina Pík called for a meeting of coalition leaders over Wednesday's dismissal of police president Petr Lessy, which she said complicated matters within the coalition. The lower house of parliament is set to vote next week on two crucial government bills on the restitution of church property and raising the VAT rates. Prime Minister Nečas said the issues were not related and warned that the government would fall if its reform legislation is rejected. In related news, at a meeting with police union leaders on Thursday, the new head of Czech police, Martin Červíček, promised to increase next year's budget of the police force by 700 million crowns. Police unions objected to Wednesday's decision by the Interior Minister to sack Mr. Červíček's predecessor, Petr Lessy. Interior Minister Jan Kubica dismissed Petr Lessy after criminal charges of libel and abuse of authority were filed against him. After Thursday's meeting with the new police boss, union leaders said it was a good start for future cooperation. The Czech Supreme Court on Thursday rejected a complaint by the Justice Minister and ordered Roman Smetana to serve the rest of his prison sentence. Mr. Smetana, then a bus driver in Olomouc, was sentenced in 2001 for defacing political campaign posters of several political parties. He was sentenced to pay the damages and do 100 hours of community service. While he complained with the former, he rejected the letter and was therefore ordered to serve 100 days in prison. He spent some 30 days there. Before then, Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil filed a complaint in his favor. However, the Supreme Court said on Thursday the complaint was unjustified. Only 14% of Czechs understand the basic principles of the government's pension reform, according to a survey by the STEM Mark agency released on Thursday. 70% of those polled said they did not know the rules for joining the so-called second pillar of the system, which means that they would pay part of the pension tax to private funds. The government's pension reform will allow those under the age of 35 to join the second pillar beginning in 2013. Those aged over 35 will only have a chance to join the program in the first 6 months of that year. The prices of fuel at Czech gas stations hit a record high last week when a litre of gasoline and natural 95 sold at an average price of 38.17 crowns, 13 hellers more than the previous week, according to the latest figures by the monitoring firm CCS. The prices of diesel also reached a new high of 37.17 crowns per litre. The firm said, however, that many gas stations sold fuel at prices of over 40 crowns per litre. Analysts believe the surge in fuel prices had been caused by rising prices of oil on world markets, as well as the weakening Czech crown to the dollar. Czech firm Vykov Wind has signed a 2 billion crown deal to build wind farms in the Sindh province of Pakistan, the news agency Chat-e-Ka reported, quoting the Pakistani publication Business Recorder. The firm signed the deal with the provincial government. The construction of 25 wind generators that will produce 50 megawatts of power should begin in 2013 and conclude by the end of that year. Riot police were called in to break up a house party organized on Facebook in the northeastern town of Orlova on Wednesday night after hundreds of people showed up. When neighbors alerted the police over the noise and public disorder in the street, the woman who advertised the party said it had gotten out of control. However, dozens of people attacked the police officers and a riot squad had to be called in to disperse the partygoers. Five police officers were injured in the incident while five people were arrested, a police spokeswoman said. Czech hockey player František Kabela, a Stanley Cup winner and a five-time world champion, has ended his career. The 38-year-old defenseman, who in the last season played for HC Plzeň in the Czech top division, said a series of minor injuries prevented him from getting fully into training. In the NHL, Kabela played for the Atlanta Thrashers, the Los Angeles Kings, and the Carolina Hurricanes, with whom he won his sole Stanley Cup in 2009, before returning to the Czech Republic. As part of the Czech national team, František Kabela also won a bronze medal at the 2006 Winter Olympics in Torino. The condition of Czech skier Šárka Záhrobská, who in July underwent surgery to remove a brain tumor, has improved, according to a report by the gossip website Blesk.cz. The website said that the 27-year-old skiing champion had resumed training and could be fit in time for the new season. Her agent said that they were awaiting the latest test results. However, Šárka Záhrobská is scheduled to appear at a news conference on Saturday. And finally, a very brief look at the weather. The current warm and sunny conditions are expected to deteriorate towards the end of the week, with rain setting in on Friday. Daytime highs should not exceed 20 degrees Celsius in the coming days. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Maggie Lund, coming up on our programme today. The after effects of yesterday's dismissal of police president Petr Lessy are still being felt in the capital. 6 months after an operation to replace his heart with two artificial pumps, a Czech patient still survives off the mechanical organ. And later, we'll bring you another edition of Panorama. All that and more coming your way, so stay tuned. Shockwaves have continued to reverberate across the Czech political scene over the unexpected firing of police president Petr Lessy. On Wednesday, the police official was relieved of his duties with unusual speed after he was charged with libel and abuse of public office. The opposition slammed the step as an assault on the independence of the police. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Petr Lessy served as police president for 19 months, but from the get-go, his naming by former Interior Minister Radek Jan saw opposition from other members of the government, then made up of the Civic Democrats, Topo 9 and Public Affairs. Prime Minister Petr Nečas himself questioned the selection process that led to Lessy's naming, and the police president over the coming months would clash not only with him, but with Interior Minister Jan Kubice and more recently Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek. The police president told a parliamentary committee this summer that the minister had called him in an apparent intimidation attempt regarding the police investigation into a questionable military deal. Some observers say it was only a matter of time before Lessy was removed, but by law, police presidents serve 5 years and can only be recalled from their post if they're suspected and charged with having committed a crime. That happened Wednesday. Mr. Lessy has opted for two well-known lawyers, including Tomáš Sokol, a former interior minister. After learning of the charges, here's what Mr. Lessy said.
I think it will be clearly proven the charges well construed. At this point, after consulting the situation with my lawyers, I can't comment developments further, but I am convinced the legal steps I have taken will be successful.
The police president's firing caught many on the Czech political scene off guard, and reaction was quick. The prime minister, reportedly unaware of the move beforehand, expressed full confidence in his interior minister. But Czech President Václav Klaus, by contrast, expressed major concern, saying the move would destabilize the police forces. And that was precisely what the interior minister insisted he aimed to prevent. Following Wednesday's unprecedented firing, he immediately named Mr. Lessy's successor, former police president deputy Martin Červíček, to fill his predecessor's shoes. The opposition, namely the Social Democrats, furiously criticized Mr. Lessy's removal, citing the speed of his firing as evidence he had become increasingly unacceptable for some members of the ruling coalition, charges that have been categorically denied. The speculation being raised is that investigations into deals were simply too close for comfort for the government. Social Democrat Jeroným Tejc charged that the Interior Minister could have temporarily removed Mr. Lessy from his post rather than resorting to firing, and claimed the Interior Minister had proven to be a most useful tool of the centre-right parties like the Civic Democrats, who he claimed could now breathe a little easier regarding corruption cases. Interior Minister Jan Kubice responded to the accusation by putting the burden of proof on the MP. He stressed that if there was a shred of evidence of any wrongdoing on his part in Lessy's removal, he would himself step down immediately.
Jan Wellinger reporting. And you can let us know what you think about that story by writing to english@radio.cz. A patient in the Czech Republic has become the first person in the world to survive for nearly 6 months without a heart. The patient, a 37-year-old firefighter, had a malignant tumour that allowed immediate transplantation as the only alternative. When a donor was not found in time, his heart was replaced by two mechanical pumps. Jaromir Pavlík has the story.
Czech firefighter Jakub Halík was operated on March 3rd, knowing he had a year to live or less. Previously, only one other patient in Texas underwent similar surgery. That patient did not survive. Halík has now been without a heart for almost half a year, still waiting for the appropriate donor. He says that although it was not an easy decision, there was really no other option.
It was definitely a difficult decision. I decided to fight for life and to undergo surgery. Now I feel great, both physically and emotionally. Actually, I can't recognize any difference from normal because my body still functions the same way. The only difference is that now I have no pulse.
Historically, the first attempts to use artificial heart technology date back to World War II and were gradually repeated as technology developed since 1953. The first attempts were completely outside the body, where the patient was hooked up to apparatus. The first real implant of a heart pump was made in 1968. The pump was used to support the left ventricle of the heart. What made the operation on Jakub Halík unique was the use of two pumps after the heart had been removed. Professor Jan Pirk, who oversaw the operation, explains why the implantation of the two-pump system was necessary.
Well, the reason is that the heart has two sides, left and right. Heart is a two-pump system. If we remove heart, we have to replace it by two pumps. We only left in the body the posterior wall of the left and right atrium, and all other parts of the heart were removed.
According to Professor Pirk, the pumps completely replace the left and right ventricle.
The left pump is pumping the blood in aorta in the body, and the right pump is pumping the blood in the pulmonary artery and in the lungs. The difference is that the right side system is a low pressure and the left side is a high pressure system. So it was very difficult to make it to work with a low pressure, but we solved the problem within a couple hours.
The patient, since the operation, remains in hospital, but is mobile and fully active with some limitations. While he can take the stairs, for example, it would be not possible to take part in more strenuous activity. For that, he'll have to wait for a successful transplant. As for the operation and use of the heart blood pumps, termed the HeartMate 2, widespread use is generally not expected, as the nature of Mr. Halík disease is fairly rare. In most other transplant cases, the single pump is usually enough. Professor Jan Pirk again.
I don't think it will be soon, because I hope that these malignant tumors will be not a very common disease, so I don't know. Worldwide, yes, but not in single center.
Jan Pirk, ending that report by Jaromír Pavlík. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, we bring you another edition of Panorama with Sara Borůvka.
Co mě uzemnilo, jako jo, těžce teda, jo, je tohleto, protože to se jmenuje jak...
In his weekly TV show Ano Šéfe, or Yes Boss, Zdeněk Pojrech sets restaurant owners straight. Some might say he is the closest equivalent that the Czech Republic has to Gordon Ramsay. And the Czech celebrity chef has some authority on the topic. He started cooking in 1975, then left the country shortly after the Velvet Revolution and spent some time working abroad. Since returning home, he has applied what he calls the Western standard of cooking and service to a number of restaurants around Prague. Zdeněk Pojrech's current operation is the restaurant in the city's famous Hotel Imperial, where I met up with him to talk about why so many restaurants fail at producing decent food.
The most common thing is that people are entering the restaurant business with a lot of prejudices about it. A lot of them don't realize how very competitive it is, and quite often they don't have any qualification for it, no education, not even running tobacconist shop maybe. That they just think that the restaurant business is something what is actually working by momentum somehow. And I think it's for the most of the people I met during our shooting, it was really like rude awakening, which is going to cost them, some of them, the lifetime savings. I think that restaurant industry is really a brutal one. And those people, they simply have no idea.
What was some of the worst food you had to taste at those restaurants?
I can still remember that incredible pasta sort of gratin with some broccoli, which was, you wouldn't serve it in a prison probably. That was the most awful thing I've seen on the plate. And there is a lot of shocking things, you know. But this one was pure garbage. You couldn't even talk about cooking. You would just imagine the penne, which is overcooked till it actually loses its shape. Some totally overcooked broccoli and some cheap cheese on the top of it, and all this fleshed under the grill and served. What I find quite shocking, actually, in that particular episode was that the people were even complaining about portion size. You know, they would probably be able to consume more of that shit. And to me, it's I'm just amazed. You know, I just think that I'm often asked a question by the people that when we gonna improve the food and blah 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 in this country, because for some reason people think we are our show is sort of mission for a better food or somehow. But I'm always saying, you know, it's in your hand. You consumers, you are the only ones. You have this tremendous power of not taking it. Simply don't go to those places. Don't accept it as a standard. And I think it's in the consumer's hands at the end of the day.
In terms of maybe the service side of things, I mean, often you focus on the kitchen and the budget when you go into these restaurants and on your TV show. But in terms of service, do you think there's still a lot left to catch up with the West here?
I'm afraid that the Czech people are not born for the service. I think that there are still many of them who find it, let's say, humiliating somehow or frustrating, or that they simply don't realize the importance of the good service. Thanks God, I don't know if it's thanks God, but with many restaurants closing their doors nowadays, there is still the let's say the demand for the good waiters positions is growing. At least there is some people available on the market. When we were starting 2 years ago, we could have posted an ad for a waiter and waited for a month without any single reply. Now it's changing. I think that people will probably sooner or later value to get a good job where they can make a decent living on. But service, I think it's still very basic in a lot of places. What I'm missing in many restaurants is just the feel, you know. I don't really care whether someone brings me the food from the left or right hand side. I don't give a damn. For me, it's important that someone gives me a smile and create some sort of atmosphere. And it's very often not the case.
So what do you think has changed since 20 years ago, since the Velvet Revolution, in terms of maybe cuisine, ingredients that are available and so on?
Well, as far as the ingredients are concerned, I just think that we can import just about everything. Local ingredients, they virtually don't exist to a certain extent. So to quality restaurants, we importing just about really everything. It's quite shocking that the local producers, they actually don't do anything. And what has changed for the better? Of course, it's a huge number of the restaurants. I think the number of the restaurants must have multiplied by I don't know how much, but just about every single hole in the house is the restaurant nowadays. All those people, they sort of fight the price war more than they would think creatively about being different or being more interesting. So now we can buy everything, but the buying power is still not there. So lots of restaurants, they're selling very, very cheap, and the costs are actually skyrocketing at the moment. And and they simply they're not able to make enough profits anymore.
You mentioned locally manufactured ingredients. In recent years, it's been a huge trend to shop locally, go to the farmers market. Do you think that's going to arrive here?
You know what? I actually don't think so. Because I'm quite skeptical. I think it's shocking that a city like Prague is not having a single food market of certain size. There is a lot of different markets with the garbage, clothes, and fake whatever. I think that Prague actually owns their own citizens big time. Something like, you know, you see stupid aqua parks on every corner, but there is no single place where you can comfortably buy and enjoy food as such.
Why do you think that is? It's a bit strange.
I just don't think that there is enough producers. You know, I think that what would help is to create a spot where general public is having access to the foodstuffs, what we're having, okay? They would grow the market tremendously. And I think there must be who rules actually the food business in this country is supermarket chains, no doubt about it. They basically dictate the price. At the same time, they're killing the producers. And if the poor producers, they have no other place to go, they simply work for the supermarkets. That's all that is.
And now to switch a bit from the producers to actual what is being cooked, I think I noticed at least a bit there is a trend to go back to kind of making Czech traditional food, but just focusing on making it well and from good ingredients. Do you think it's still something that people enjoy and maybe even something that people do at home, that they make knedlíky from scratch or they take the time to make a good svíčková? Or do you think it's all going towards making a quick pasta?
I think that people nowadays, they simply don't have enough time to cook Czech cuisine properly during the week. They should be doing it, let's say, during the weekends, because the traditional Czech stuff is quite time-consuming, and it's not really suitable, let's say, for summer months. I think it's sort of dying away, and I think that maybe sooner than we think, the quality Czech cuisine will be available in the restaurants only.
And what do you think is replacing it, or do you see any trends or bigger developments in cooking here?
Well, I'm afraid it's, in the better cases, it's probably replaced by, let's say, sort of Italian Euro type of food. But unfortunately, I think in many, many cases, it's being replaced by pure garbage, what people are stuffing their faces with.
That edition of Panorama was first broadcast in January 2010. Now we're going to round off our regular weekday programme by bringing you another part of our popular Czech language course, the ABCs of Czech.
Welcome again to Czech from Head to Toe, Radio Prague's language teaching program, which looks at idioms using parts of the human body. Today's body part is the hand. The Czech word
ruka
and its plural form
ruce
is commonly used for both hands and arms. The number of phrases and fixed expressions using the words is overwhelming. You can try and count how many you can think of in your own language. First of all, the hand symbolizes work and skills.
Má zlaté ruce.
He or she has golden hands. That's what Czechs say about very skillful people. About someone who has trouble making ends meet, Czechs say
žije z ruky do úst.
They live from hand to mouth. Some people earn their livings in ways that are not completely honest, and some of them can, metaphorically speaking, dirty their hands.
Ušpinit si ruce.
If people do not want to acknowledge their wrongdoings and face the consequences, or simply deal with problems, we say they wash their hands of it. Czech uses exactly the same phrase.
Umýt si nad něčím ruce.
The word hand is also used in phrases which refer to distance. If we need somebody or something to be available, to be near, we say we want them to be at hand.
Být po ruce.
On the other hand, if something is far away or out of the way, Czechs use the expression
být z ruky,
literally be out of hand. The hands are also a symbol of power and control. In our imagination, they can hold the scepter, the stick, the helm, or the reins. From these images stem phrases such as
mít něco pevně v rukou,
hold something firmly in your hands, or have something under control. If something gets out of one's hands, Czechs say
vymklo se mi to z ruky.
And if someone is in a superior position over somebody else and they obey him blindly, we can say
zobou mu z ruky.
They feed out of his hand. The hand also represents cooperation or unity, as symbolized by the handshake, for example. If Czechs say
ruku na to,
they want somebody to promise, to seal a deal by a handshake. Another idiom associated with cooperation is
ruka ruku mije.
Literally, one hand washes another, meaning you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. This has been just a handful of phrases. We could go on, but our time is up. So tune in again next time if you can.
Naschledanou.
That was the ABCs of Czech, and that was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programmes are available online at radio.cz. Do get in touch if you have any comments or questions by emailing us at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradska 12, postal code 12099, Prague 2. But that's all for today, so from me, Maggie Lund, and all of the rest of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.